I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
This is a WABC News Bulletin.
Encountered a male on a bicycle northbound at East 120th Street. There was an exchange of gunfire between the male suspect and the two officers. During this exchange, Officer Holder was struck in the head. His father was a police officer in Guyana, and his grandfather was also a police officer in Guyana. And now the latest generation served here with us in the New York City Police Department. And tonight did what every other officer in the NYPD does. When the call comes, he ran toward danger, and especially to his father, when his time of grief sought to comfort the officers from PSA 5. He was strong enough and brave enough to go in and address them as they tried to comfort him.
Don't blue lives matter too? The NYPD losing another hero last night? The fourth cop killed in the line of duty in just the last 10 months? Where are the protesters this morning when a black man wearing blue is killed? Sergeant Ed Mullins joins me, the fine president of the Sergeants Benevolent Association. So, Ed, another one. How'd you get the news, and what was your reaction?
I was notified last night, and I was really saddened by the news. It's an epidemic that's occurring across the country of shooting and killing police officers. Last 10 months, four officers killed in New York, a total of six shot. We had two shot back in January in a 4-6 precinct. I think there's a direct correlation that there's just more guns in the street, contrary to what everyone wants to tell you. I think the facts are that you see the violence occurring. And I got to commend you, Geraldo, of what you just said is that, we have a male black officer wearing blue that was killed. And the people in that community should be outraged that this happened because this is where they live. And any innocent person in that street last night could have gotten hit with stray gunfire, someone along the FDR Drive. My feeling is there was more than one gun that was out there. And this was a running gun battle that took place in the streets. And this is in a section of Manhattan where, crime is still pretty high, and it's not a wealthy neighborhood. So the residents there are also affected by this. And this is a typical circumstance where law enforcement is trying to protect the people in the poorer communities and people of color in the city, and we ended up losing one of our own. It's tragic, very tragic.
Do you feel that the community has your back, Ed?
I think that there's a majority of people who do, but they're just silent, and we really need the silent majority to come out and come public and, call an end to this nonsense that's occurring by weakening, the ability of law enforcement. Because in the end, you're seeing people in the community who are going to become the victim, kids in playgrounds. And, is this how we want our children raised, where they're running through the streets carrying guns, and this is the alternative? The only game changer here is that thin blue line. It's police officers that separate good from evil. And the more people we put behind them, the better our chances are of fighting off the evil. But we need that public support. We need those residents and those moms to get behind the police and say, look, we don't want this here, and we don't want to see any more of your protests. We want these guns off the street. And we have to find that balance so that they trust us. You know, this has gone on for almost 2 years, and there's not a person in this country who has done anything to build those bridges other than create political, legislative nonsense that weakens law enforcement so that they can go to the people of color and say, see, we're doing something. But what they're not listening to is that there are many good people of color who want law enforcement there, who depend on them to be in those communities to protect them. And no one's asking them because they're too afraid to come forward. They're living in fear every day.
And Sergeant Ed Mullins is my guest. Ed, President of the Sergeant's Benevolent Society. Let me ask you this. 33-year-old Officer Randolph Holder shot in the forehead during this gunfight. A couple of important questions. Number one, if we still had stop and frisk, do you think you would have had this this gunfight at the OK Corral there on the FDR?
Maybe, maybe not. I think that, you know, even during stop and frisk, we've had gunfights. But what's now out there is there's a perception that it's okay to carry a gun because just look at the stop and frisk numbers. They are way down from where they were. And that's not to say that they should have stayed that high. But the pendulum went from one side all the way to the other side with no balance. So my feeling is that there is a lax atmosphere where the bad guys know, and they're more inclined to carry their firearms.
Do you have a situation where the mayor responded immediately? He left a big fancy dinner at Gracie Mansion, not far away, just a mile down the FDR, to rush up to the officer's side. Do you feel that de Blasio has gone through a metamorphosis, that he's much more conscious of showing very public support for the thin blue line?
I think he has. I think that there's been a change in, you know, some of the behavior that I've seen with the mayor. And, you know, like anything else, you can agree to disagree. But, you know, just to see the change and to be able to have a conversation where you can make sense and he can understand that part of it, I think is positive. I think that the speaker and city council really needs to wake up and start to change some of her ways. But, from the mayor's perspective, you know, he went to the officer's side, and he should. Every mayor should, as they should with any city employee who lost their life in performance of their duty. But I think that the mayor is realizing and has realized that he needs the NYPD to keep the city safe and still function as the city moves forward.
That's for sure. Ed Mullins, president of the Sergeants Benevolent Association. One last question, Sergeant. You have a situation here where Rahm Emanuel, the mayor of Chicago, like the mayor of Baltimore, both complaining that the cops have gone into a kind of fetal position, that they're worried that their careers will end early with one of these videotaped incidents that, there'll be an allegation of excessive force or whatever. So what cops are doing in places like Chicago and Baltimore is shying away from getting involved. Do you see any of that here? And this incident last night with this hero cop, Randolph Holder, belie that whole notion?
No, what I do see is I see some hesitancy on the actions of police officers. And I think that Mayor Emanuel and the mayor of Baltimore personally should step down. I think that their indecisive actions and failure of leadership has created the atmosphere in both those cities and to which we've witnessed the outcome. Chicago has been a city that's been out of control for at least 5 years that I'm aware of. And I know many police officers in Chicago who are really trying to address the issue out there. And, you know, why is it that you can't? Because policies that are in place by these mayors and these people in charge of these communities are too lax, and they don't want to receive any bad press. And what's the end result? We're losing many, many lives, and we're losing more lives in Chicago than we lost probably in Afghanistan. So how do you continue to keep a practice like this? The mayor, the buck stops with him. He should stop blaming the police, and he should institute policies that get the job done.
Ed Mullins, I appreciate it. Our condolences to the family, to the whole NYPD, but to the family especially of Randolph Holder. As Commissioner Bratton said, the son of a cop, the grandson of a cop, shot in the forehead during this running gunfight not far from my house, 120th on the FDR Drive. Ed, thanks. I appreciate
it. Have a good day.
Okay, you too, mate. What about that? What about my question? Noam, is this a fair question? Is it not a fair question? Here you have Black Lives Matter. I totally get it. I understand why particularly activists are involved and engaged. You have innocent black men having confrontations with cops and ending up too often ending up on the short end and sometimes with dire result. But here you have a black man who's wearing blue, and I didn't hear a single whimper. I didn't hear, from any of the usual suspects here. I hope as the day goes on today that we do. But here you have this hero cop, Randolph Holder. He's joining, of course, Lou and Ramos and Moore, the 25-year-old kid, the last one who went down in Queens back in May. All right, our feelings go out. Should we? All right, Noam, what do you think? All right, first of all.
You know, you're never going to hear anything from Black Lives Matter. It's just not going to happen. I mean, I think you're absolutely right. Black Lives Matter should come out and absolutely say this is horrendous and be as upset as they are about the other lives that have been taken on the streets. But, you know, you're living in a dreamland. That's not going to happen.
Well, I can dream. I can dream. I'm going to dream. I want to talk to you, 866 Geraldo. So much going on. You've got, of course, the big congressional investigation of the former Secretary of State and current presidential candidate, leading candidate for the Democratic nomination, Hillary Clinton. That happens on Thursday. I'll tell you why I don't think that's going anyplace, not worth a hill of beans, that scandalette. But I know many of you disagree with me, and many of you are hoping that something will be revealed that will show that you did something venal or illegal. Dream on, but I mean, we can have that discussion. Paul Ryan, the well-regarded former candidate for vice president of the United States. He ran with Mitt Romney in 2012, now the head of the House Ways and Means Committee. Paul Ryan is on the verge, it seems to me, of being elected Speaker of the House by acclamation, which I think he should be. I think he's a fine man and will do a terrific job. The Trump-Bush feud rages on, even as Donald Trump is looking unbeatable. It's his race to lose. That and how about that Murphy and the Mets? We'll be right back. It apparently started around 8:30 last night. It was an argument between two rival crews, gangs, whatever you call them. Turned into a gunfight. These crews based in the public housing projects there that line the FDR. Very nice, relatively speaking. I mean, among the best public housing in the country, I would offer. But you have these rival crews, young men with guns. Cops closed in, and as Officer Holder led the chase, one of the perps stole a bicycle, at gunpoint, making his way over that overpass there, the walkway that walkway that lines the East River there near Hellgate, not far from Gracie Mansion, just uptown a mile or so. Shots exchanged between the suspect and the pursuing officers, Officer Holder, 33 years old, the son and grandson of cops, an immigrant from Guyana, shot right in the forehead. The suspect shot in the legs, captured around 124th Street. They got three other guys, took them into custody. They arrested them around 111th Street. They were being questioned early this morning by officers. They think that the perp that killed the cop threw his gun into the river. We hear the river cops are searching for that now. Former Police Commissioner Bernard Carrick, my dear friend, joins us now. Commish, thanks for coming on. I know you're in D.C. What are you testifying on today?
I'm down here with the law enforcement leaders group that will be meeting with the president tomorrow to talk about some criminal justice reform issues. So,
all right, what is something like this do to that kind of group, that kind of meeting?
Well, I think it hits home. Bad people that do bad things belong in prison. They got to be held accountable. I mean, this is a sad day for the New York City Police Department. Unfortunately, this is the fourth one in a matter of 11 months. I mean, it's a sad, sad thing for the PD, for the colleagues of this cop that was killed, for his family. It's just terrible.
You have a black man wearing blue killed. You wonder, where's the community outrage? Where are the Black Lives Matter folks? Where are the Occupy Wall Street folks?
Where are all those political activists that get out there and stomp and scream and yell, this cop was black? Does his life matter? I'd say it does. I'd say every life matters. But it's ironic that, they pick and choose, what they want to protest over and what they want to support. I just think it's horrendous.
I had Ed Mullins on, Commissioner, earlier, president of the Sergeants Benevolent Association, talking about how in other towns like Chicago, Baltimore, bitter complaints from the mayor that the cops are going into the fetal position. They're so worried about losing their jobs behind an excessive force charge, or God forbid if they kill a civilian, wrongfully or whatever. They're so worried now about themselves and their own, the pensions and so forth, that the cops in Baltimore, Chicago, not doing their job. Do you have anything like that happening in New York?
No, I don't think so. And I have to say, Geraldo, even in Chicago and Baltimore, cops aren't lying down. They may be reluctant to take, normal everyday activities, as they would in the past, or, get engaged in aggressive policing. But the bottom line is, you call for help, there's a gunfight, those guys are going. The men and women are going, and they're going to do what they have to do. And last night was a prime example of what happens when they do. And I think it's a shame that in this day and age, the cops have to be worried about aggressive policing, worried about administrations that they feel are not going to support them, that they're not going to be indemnified should they go out and, act out and do what they have to do, and then somebody misinterprets what they did or Monday morning quarterbacks what they did. I think it's terrible.
You have a situation now with the mayor so bitterly criticized at the time Lou and Ramos were killed last December. And I remember you and I spoke when it happened. You were the one that told me that it had happened. And then you told me when it was before it was publicly known that they had that both cops had died from that assassination that madman. Very bitter at that time last December about Mayor de Blasio. Now you had a situation where he was having a big fancy party at Gracie Mansion. He left immediately to go to the stricken cops' side as he passed in Harlem Hospital. Has de Blasio gone through a metamorphosis? Is he a better man now than he was?
Well, I think he's come to the realization that, of getting an understanding of what these cops, what the men and women do. Look, it's especially for a mayor, a governor, a president, when the president takes over his administration, when he gets that first national security briefing, I'm sure he walks out of that room stunned and shocked, because there's a lot of things he didn't know. I think mayors are the same way. You go to that first cop funeral, you have to visit the hospital, you have to talk to the families. This mayor has had to do this four times now with four different families. I mean, if he doesn't get it by now, he's never going to get it, but I give him credit for getting to the hospital, meeting with the family, doing what he has to do, and he should be given the credit he deserves.
It's a crazy job, so dangerous, and the salary, the starting salary, is still so low. I don't get it. How are you going to get heroes to join up, for that kind of money?
You know what, Geraldo? I joined the NYPD in 1986, and I think my base salary at the time was $25,000. When I retired in 2002, I think the base salary for a cop was still $25,000. I think people have to come to the realization you have to pay these men and women what they deserve, what they should make. And New York City is
got,
one of
got to go, Commish. Thanks. Good luck in D.C.
2-1 delivery. Swinging a high fly ball right center field. That ball going to the track. Are you kidding? Daniel Murphy, one more time, buries it into the bleachers in right center field.
That's Josh Lewin on the Mets victory, 5-2 victory over the Cubs. So before I get back to your calls on the slain officer, just give me 30 seconds to praise the Mets. Praise Daniel Murphy. My goodness, where the hell has this guy been? Hit a home run in his fifth straight postseason game. You know how special that is? It ties the all-time Major League Baseball record. The guy overall has homered six times in eight postseason games. I mean, where has he been? He reminds me of Reggie Jackson, Mr. October.
Right.
The Mets have their own Mr. October.
Yeah, they do. But you wonder, you know, he's a free agent. At the end of the season, is he going to become a Yankee? Because they'll be the only team that can afford him.
Wouldn't that be funny? If the pattern holds, he'll go to the Yankees and fall apart.
Yeah, exactly.
But it was just amazing. Game three now in the bag. The Mets ahead 3-0. The Cubbies in Wrigley, I'd like to see them win a couple of games just for the pride of Chicago. Can use some good news. But
yeah, I think they're going to finish them off tonight. They don't look like they've been in it at all. So it's hard to imagine they're going to come back now.
You know, you can tell when a team has spirit. You know, their shoulders are up. They're running. They're stealing bases. They're, trying their hardest. And when they get their back to the wall, they're kind of schlumping around there. And it just seems like the only caution, I remember 2004, the Red Sox Yankees. Remember that one? The Sox were down three, and they came back. And Theo Epstein, the young president of the Red Sox, is now the president of the Cubs in Chicago.
You know, that's the only time that's ever happened in Major League Baseball history that a team has come back from 3-0 was that Red Sox series. So it's never happened before. But, you know, the Cubs have to be like members of Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, it's one day at a time. So you never know. One game at a time, maybe they can get back into it if they look at it that way.
All right, let's get back into this discussion of what happened to that cop. What's the appropriate response from the community, from our leaders, from Mark Viverito, the council speaker? This is a city now that has witnessed four cops killed in the line of duty. Plus, you had the cop killed in Jersey City. It's been, for cops to be so criticized and to be so vulnerable and to go to work for chump change, to risk everything. It's really, it's quite extraordinary for them. And what's the appropriate response? Let's start with Humphreys. Thanks for calling 866 Geraldo. Humphreys, what's on your mind, man? Hi, you're on.
Yeah, I just wanted to jump into this Black Lives Matter thing. I think mostly it's like a matter of context. The intent, I think, is like people are saying if a police officer kills a person or a person of color, mainly, okay, they should face the justice. I mean, usually it's like that happens, and then the grand jury or whatever, the prosecutor, then they drop this. They say the guy is innocent. But if a perp kills the police, he goes to jail. I mean, that's the justice. So I think that's where the confusion, I think, is like.
No, I totally get it. But do you ever think, Humphreys, that why are, and believe me, I don't forgive any excessive force by cops or anybody else. I think that if an officer uses force that is unreasonable, the officer should be liable criminally. I totally get that and agree with you.
Right.
But I tell you what, why are there all of these, and, you know, I don't have the exact statistic, but there are far fewer black men killed by cops than there are black men killed by other black men or brown men killed by other brown men. Isn't the problem that there is so much violence in the inner city, in the community? That's why so many there are so many encounters between cops and criminals and people the cops maybe wrongfully believe to be criminals. I mean, isn't the real problem, the heart of the problem, the fact there's too many guns in the community, there's too much violence in the community? That's why there's so much friction between black and blue, because they are called to respond to these extraordinary situations far too often, Humphreys.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, nobody likes violence and criminals in their communities. Once they do the criminal acts, they should go to jail. I mean, that's what people are saying. But what I'm saying, in instances where a police officer uses force that's unreasonable and unwarranted, they should face the justice too. I mean, that's not happening. That's where the people cry. No, I mean, you just like saying suck it up. I mean, it's a police officer. I mean, you are collateral damage or something, you know. That's where the cry for Black Lives Matter is coming. I think that's the context.
Like, shouldn't Black Lives Matter, but okay, before I let you go, and I appreciate you're a smart man, shouldn't Black Lives Matter at least symbolically reach out to the family of this black man who fell?
Yeah, that should happen. But the thing is, the justice, this guy is going to get caught. Maybe he got caught already.
He's caught. He's in jail.
Yeah,
he's
going to go to jail. And that's what you want. You want justice. This guy kills a police officer, go to jail. If you face the death penalty, that's it.
Okay.
That's justice has been served.
But
I got you, Humphreys. An excellent call, and I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Let me go to Danny on Long Island. What's up, Danny? What are you thinking about?
Hey, how you doing, Harold? What am I thinking about? I'm thinking about 9 o'clock last night when I'm sitting on my couch and I'm watching the Met game, and I got my Met hat on, and I'm thinking about my grandma. And then my son next to me, who's a police officer, tells me that he has his phone out, they all have the internet, that police officer was shot in the 3-2 precinct. 10 minutes later, he walks upstairs. I hear him take his gun out of his safe. He walks down the stairs in a little black bag, and out the door he goes. He's midnight age. He's 23 years old. Good kid. Never took a wrong turn in his life, and he got there doing his job. But ungrateful media and all of these people who will jump on my son in a heartbeat if he makes one. You used to be allowed to be wrong as long as you were acting in good faith. And you could now, I speak to these young guys, they're doing nothing, Geraldo. Why would you risk everything when if you make a mistake and you are acting in good faith, you will be crucified, fired? We had the police commissioner call a veteran detective sergeant an embarrassment at the department yesterday because a prisoner headbutted him and ran away. He called a 20-year veteran of the police officer an embarrassment. It comes from the mayor. It comes from the top. It comes from everything. Why would anybody want to do this job anymore? I don't know. I don't blame any police officer who sits in his radio car underneath the highway drinking coffee and answers his 9/11 calls and does the best he can on those, but doesn't look for trouble. These people are now out there carrying guns because people are not being stopped. And they'll pay the price. The little girl in Hempstead who got shot sitting in her living room the other day. Or all these other innocent victims. Most of the time, it's not the police because the police can shoot back. It's the innocent victims in the world that are being the ones being punished because of this mayor who ran against the police department, the best police department in the world. We all remember pre-Rudy. We remember the nonsense, 2,000 homicides. This police department brought this city back. Times Square used to be I was a foot cop in Times Square. You wouldn't walk there after 8 o'clock at night. Now it's an oasis of tourists. And this mayor ran against that. And these cops feel betrayed, and they're doing nothing. I don't blame them. Because this is what comes down from the top.
All right, Danny, let me ask you a question. I want to ask you a question not as a retired police lieutenant, but as a dad. What's it like when you're a 23-year-old, now he's got his gun, he's going out that front door to do, you know, God knows what. What's it like for a dad to see his son go into action, into peril?
When my brother retired, he had a ceremony, he had a dinner, and he turned to my mother, and he said, the real hero is this woman who for 30 years watched her husband, her brother-in-law, and her 3-foot children walk out the door every night. And he turned to my mother and he said, Ma, we're all home now. You can go to bed. You know what? You can't go to bed anymore. Because now my son is out there, and he's a good boy. He's a big kid. Plays football in college. He can take care of himself. I'm not concerned about it. Cops have been getting shot and killed for 200 years. It's cops and robbers, and once in a while we lose. And that sounds horrible, but that's the fact. But you used to not be afraid to do your job to protect yourself. You're allowed to be wrong. Now you're not allowed to be wrong anymore. So the guys are very hesitant. And you know what? I screwed up. You know what? I was too good of a role model. My son wanted to be like me. Maybe I should have been more of a jackass. He would have been something else. But you know, I did the right thing. I came home from work every night, took care of my kids, and now one of them took after me and his grandfather. And I'm tormented by that now in a way. Yes, I am.
But I'm proud of you. I'm proud of your son and your family. I appreciate your service, and thanks a lot for the call, Danny. All right, man. 866 Geraldo, give me a buzz. I'll be right back after this. We're honoring the life and mourning the death of another hero cop, another hero NYPD officer, a black man in blue, shot and killed in a gunfight with some thugs last night around 100 and, well, the cop fell at 120th Street in the FDR Drive. The perp was shot in the legs. They got him at 124th Street. And the three other suspects in the rival crew, I guess they recovered at least two guns. They got them down on 111th Street. Abdul is a Brooklyn attorney. Hi, thank you very much for calling. What's on your mind today? Hello, Abdullah?
Hello?
Hi, you're on. What's on your mind?
Oh, hi, Geraldo. So I wanted to say I'm a black woman. I'm a defense attorney, and I'm really outraged. My husband is an officer. He's not NYPD, but he carries a firearm, and I am so tired. I really think that Mayor Bill de Blasio, who I'm now calling de Blasio, put a negative atmosphere out there that is causing these police officers to be in jeopardy. Look, if you get in trouble, no one's going to help you. They're taking out their video phones, and they're recording it to upload it on YouTube. So while you're being beat, no one's helping you. The only person who's going to help you is the person in blue, and you may get your one good Samaritan. Other than that, it's a cop who's going to help you. And I think that he has created an atmosphere where people are going to be openly disrespectful to cops, and even, you know, want to pull firearms out them. There are good cops and there are bad cops. And there are bad cops who make it bad for the whole bunch. Just like there are good people and there are bad people. But you cannot justify one act of violence for another. Everyone should be outraged. Blacks should be outraged. Police officers should be outraged. Whites should be outraged. This affects everyone. When you have a madman firing his gun in the street, anyone could have been shot. Anyone could have been near that highway and could have gotten a bullet in their car. I'm driving now to the Bronx. It took me 2 hours because of what this idiot did by firing and killing a poor police officer. Everyone should be outraged. And this negative atmosphere is truly the cause of the mayor.
Well, I wish you the best. Abdul, I appreciate your husband's, you know, very perilous job. I appreciate your call. Very sincere. You know, you make a lot of sense. You make a lot of sense.
There's good ones and there's bad ones. No one's denying that. There's criminals who have been framed. There are criminals who are truly guilty. But that you cannot justify one bad act for another. That is the problem.
Gotcha, Abdullah. I appreciate it. Thank you very much, and thanks for the call. So, Noam, she mentions the terrible traffic tie-up. They had the is the FDR opened yet? Do you know?
As of 10 minutes ago, it was not.
They were still looking. They were looking for shell casings, I'm sure. Yes. What a mess that must be.
Still doing their investigation. You know, started, 9:30 or so last night, yeah.
So you got the 14th hour now. I know the ramps to the RFK Bridge were also closed off the FDR. People trying to get to the airport and so forth. That must be just a nightmare over there.
Well,
I have to go to the airport later. I better check and going out to Arizona for my big 50th reunion.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. We
That's fun.
Eric and I donated a park that's being dedicated there on campus. A park open to all of the U of A students, to the whole community. Really, it's a little thing.
You hoping to run into some old flames when you're out there?
I can't imagine what they'd look like.
I want 10 pictures.
But hold your breath on that one. I just remember when we went to Fort Schuyler, the Maritime College, because that's where I went to college for the first 2 years. So an honorary member of that class of 65 also. Remember what Sol, the 10-year-old, said. Everybody here looks like a grandpa. And her mom, Erica, saying, yeah, I think I feel like I married my grandpa. But enough about me and age. We'll be back at the top of the hour. The headline story today, the tragic murder of 33-year-old Officer Randolph Holder, shot in the forehead and killed during a gunfight with a gang of thugs on the FDR Drive near 120th Street. The drive still closed. The most of the entrance ramps to the Triborough Bridge still closed. I'm going to get to your calls momentarily, 866-ERALDO, on the shooting. Lots of political news. You have the Vice President of the United States still hanging this possibility of him running for president, dangling it out there on the day before Hillary Clinton, the presumed a nominee of the Democratic Party, is going to testify before the House committee investigating Benghazi and the emails and so forth. The Firefighters Union president, 300,000 strong, the firefighters are, and they apparently are urging Joe Biden to get into the race with the tantalizing offer of an endorsement if he were to get in. Speaking of firefighters, we have a retired firefighter on the line right now, Freddie from Middle Village. Hi, Freddie. What's on your mind, bud?
The guy who called before, Dan, who you were talking to. Was
the cop, retired lieutenant, yeah.
Kind of ticked me off.
Why?
Here's why, okay? He said that he doesn't blame those cops for sitting in the car not doing anything. If that's the attitude, quit the job. You shouldn't be a cop. You're shaming the uniform, and you're taking money out of the people of New York's pockets while not doing your job. Period. You become a cop because it's a calling. You don't do it because you want to sit there in your nice warm car and watch people walk by. We have enough of them on the streets right now, and by advocating that attitude, it embarrasses.
I'm not so sure Danny was advocating the attitude. He said he didn't blame them.
Yeah, well, that's an advocation as far as I'm concerned. When you say you don't blame them, guess what? He's advocating it. Sit there, do your 20, collect your pension, and the heck with the people of New York City. Well, after all, he lives on Long Island. I mean, you know, he's not a city guy. You know, we live in
a
city.
All right, Brady, you're being a little harsh today after a cop is killed. But I get where you're coming from. Believe me, I get it. Now, again, I appreciate the call, and I appreciate your service as a firefighter. From the FDNY, let's go to the sanitation workers. They work so hard. I did that job once, a series I was doing, Working Class Heroes. Sanitation, to me, of all the uniformed services, maybe they're not getting shot at, but they are humping all day long. John, thanks for calling. What's on your mind, buddy?
Thanks. You don't see when we're picking up garbage, what have to go through the streets, all that stuff. My point to this is, I hate to say it, but I don't know where people come up and start saying it's a tragedy. This is a cold-blooded murder because of progressive issues. Listen, the way these guys are running these progressive cities, you wonder why Chicago murder rate, Baltimore's murder rate, there's people in poor areas and nobody's getting anything done, but the rich are still there. And it's nothing to do with the rich because I pick up garbage in all five boroughs. And let me tell you, there's people who are rich and there's people who are poor and there's people who are middle class. It's the people that are in the government letting people who are criminals out. This guy has how many priors? 40 or something like that?
It's in the low 50s, I think it was.
50, right? Okay. So where's the lawyers? Where's the prosecutors? Where are these council people telling innocent people when I go pick up garbage in a bad neighborhood? They're scared. But meanwhile, a councilman will say, oh, well, come up forward and say what you want. You know snitches will get you in trouble. If you, snitches get ditches and then stitches, come on. These politicians are with the criminals. They don't care about the cops. They're putting them down because they got their own agenda. Well, let's get that straight. These politicians are working with the criminals. Tell me how many years over the years that the politicians give up to the lawyers, to defense lawyers, to everybody else, and a cop, and an innocent person gets shot on the street. Meanwhile, the criminal has 30, 40 records, and you know what? The judges let them out so they can go kill other people. Let's get that straight.
All right, John, excellent call. I appreciate your passion, buddy. Stay safe out there, and I also appreciate the dirty job that you do for all of us. Lars on Long Island, what's on your mind? Thanks for calling 866 Geraldo.
Hey, Geraldo, how are you?
Good, man, thanks.
I'm calling in relation to the loss of Officer Holder.
Go ahead.
And the comparison to Black Lives Matter, I don't see how the two can be even compared. The loss of police that are entrusted with upholding and protecting citizens and upholding the law.
I don't know. Do you have a beef with them, with my asking Black Lives Matter to care about black men when they wear blue also? Is that such a stretch?
No, I don't have a... That goes without saying. They should have respect for all men in blue. And I think that's where the problem is.
Is it a lack of respect? Where does that come from? In your view, what's the process that's going on here?
Of course, a socioeconomic divide that's been exacerbated by liberalism. And what your previous caller said is pretty spot on. You get liberal mayors and whatever the broken window, non-policy, whatever, and it begins to unfold and unroll everything that...
I don't know what happened to Lars. It was on a cell phone. Call back, buddy, if you haven't made your point. I think you did, though. Jimmy, hi, in New York. What's up, man? Who are you?
Hey, Geraldo?
Yep, you're on, Jimmy.
Hey, how's it going? Yeah, just a quick comment. I'm retired NYPD. I was a cop in the 70s and 80s in a high-crime precinct. The guy, Danny, that called, he's right on the money. You know, I'm a lifelong Manhattanite, retired from the job. I didn't carry a gun for a number of years. Well, now that de Blasio and the rest of the crew is in charge, that gun is right on my hip. So the fellow Danny, he was right on the money. And just a comment about the firefighter. That guy's got some nerve. You know, I have a lot of respect for the fire department. But I'll tell you, I worked in a precinct that was next to the fire department. There were nights we were breaking up behind all night long, and they were sound asleep. And then they have nice little barbecues in the backyard. There was a study done years ago that firefighters in the city only work 20% of the time. So that guy's got a lot of cojones making those comments.
Okay, you know? Jimmy, I love you, man. I appreciate the call. I don't want to start an inter-service rivalry here. You leave that for the football field. I know you guys play each other. I love you both. Here, cab driver, Sekou's on the line from Brooklyn. What are you thinking about, Sekou?
Yeah, Sekou. Hi, Geraldo.
listen, I think this crime has, you know, many aspects. First of all, you do not talk about the gun control story because I believe that that's part of that. Stop and frisk.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Stop
what about it?
Was a good thing, but stop and frisk is like a fight for the right. Yeah, they want it to be registered, right? When you talk about the background check, universal background check, they don't want that to happen. Even know that the stop and frisk usually, you know, goes to minorities. So why not find a common ground? If we have the background, universal background check, is this guy going to get a gun? And I'm sure when we find out the gun, I think that it's in the river or somewhere around the water, does he have a permit to carry that gun? How he gets that gun?
It's an illegal gun. I guarantee you it's an illegal gun. It's a gun that came up I-95, the Jersey Turnpike from Virginia.
That's what I wanted to tell you. I'm 100% sure that that's an illegal gun. He doesn't have a permit. So he was supposed to be you know, caught. But with the stop and shop, you know, system put in place.
Right, I got you. He should have been busted by stop. I got you. I appreciate the call. You stay safe. That's not that easy a job being a cabbie, especially late at night in the outer boroughs or some of the neighborhoods. Lars came back. He called back. So, okay, finish your point, Lars.
Sorry about that. All I was saying is that you get the change in policy, whether it's liberal to conservative or vice versa, and all the progress that's been made in one direction begins to unravel in the other. And I think that has a lot to do with what's been going on for the last year and a half. And
okay, I got it, Lars. I got it. I'm going to take one more call, and I want to wrap this up because I do have some politics I want to talk about with you all, and I'm sure that many of you are, as Hillary Clinton, now on the verge of this testimony, which should be a pivotal event in the race for the 2016 race for the White House. Ray, you're on the line from Brooklyn. What's up?
Good morning, Geraldo. I love you, but I disagree with you.
Okay, tell me why. Tell me why.
I'm surprised that you don't get what the difference is. First of all, Black Lives Matter movement is a movement because for decades, people of color have been treated like second-class citizens. Every life matters for that. But the thing is, it's like you're going to a cancer crusade for breast cancer and saying that prostate cancer matters. Of course it does. But it's about every life. And it's about the people that have been oppressed for a while.
I get the distinction. But I tell you, if Black Lives Matter, I mean, Black Lives certainly matter. I mean, but if the movement is a sincere movement, that don't you think they should reach out to the people we are talking about who may or may not be responsible for these encounters? I mean, you got to talk about it when a cop dies and you have this group that is so keen on when cops abuse their privileges and their duties. I think that it is the noble, inclusive thing to do for Black Lives Matter, to make a statement. Just make a statement. You know, this 33-year-old officer, Randolph Holder, was doing his job. We lament his passing with the same sincerity as we lament the passing of, Michael Brown in Ferguson or Eric Garner in Staten Island. You know what I mean? You got to be bigger than your parochial interest, however sincere and real the concern that motivates you. That's all I'm saying, Ray.
I agree, but the problem is that, the problem is whenever an officer gets killed, it becomes national news. Whenever a person of color that gets killed approximately every 20 hours, nobody says anything about it.
Well, there's been four cops killed this year, and I would venture to say, I don't know how many controversial deaths there have been in the city at the hands of cops, but I don't think it adds up to four. I think you had the one,
you had the pink houses
in Brooklyn. You had Eric Garner on Staten Island. You know, how many others? I mean, it's a big deal when a cop gets killed. A cop represents all of us.
But
I got you. Ray, I got you. And I think you're a sincere man and a smart man. I appreciate your call. Thank you. 25 minutes after 11 o'clock, I'm going to take a couple more calls, and then I really must move on. I want to do politics. And then any of you parents out there who have kids in college, New York Magazine's got a blunderbust issue, Sex on Campus. The whole magazine is on the politics of hookups and, you know, with all this gender stuff going on. When yes means yes and all that, so we're going to do that as well. So I'm going to do politics and sex. You can't beat that. But first, let me talk for the rest of this segment about the loss, the tragic loss of the cop to that blaze of gunfire up in East Harlem. Linda in Detroit is on the line. Hi, Linda. Thanks for calling all the way from Detroit. What are you thinking about?
Hi, I love your show. I'm one of these people who is just absolutely insane about the fact that that we can't have proper gun control. Yeah, you said that gun was probably illegal. Yeah, but maybe at some point it had to be legal, right?
Agreed.
If we kept track of where the guns are, hello, and I just can't stand it.
You know, I absolutely agree with you. I think it is such a fraud for a state like Virginia, the Commonwealth of Virginia, to not have prohibitions against bulk gun sales. If you bought a gun on Tuesday, why are you coming back on Wednesday to buy a second gun and then another one on Thursday and Friday and so forth? It just seems to me that it is logical. It is undeniable that someone is buying for resale, illegal resale, and that's what's happening in cities like yours and cities like this one.
Oh, right. We had another toddler killed by the 5-year-old, found the gun, shot the 3-year-old.
I saw that also, and I really believe that far more of those tragedies are occurring in this country than incidents where a homeowner stops someone coming in their window, a crook coming in their window. That happens once in a blue moon. The 5-year-old shooting to death his 3-year-old brother, or the 12-year-old shooting the 8-year-old. That happens far more frequently. So how are you feeling about Detroit these days?
It has much the same as Chicago and New York, is that there are neighborhoods where random gunfire at any night is possible.
And how do people feel about cops in Detroit?
There's the same distrust, fear. Cops here will not go out to a minor incident because they don't want to put themselves out in that. And I don't blame them. They won't come for a fender bender. God bless them. I don't blame them. You know what I mean?
I totally do. And that's a debate we're having here. Linda, I appreciate the call. Thank you very much. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off there. Here's Dave in Irvington. What's on your mind, bud?
Yes, Geraldo. Great to speak to you again. Geraldo, with your permission, I would like to issue a challenge to Black Lives Matter. If you really care about black lives, then I challenge you to rally behind the family of Officer Holder, help to pay for his funeral expenses, turn up in mass at the wake as well as the funeral services. Stop chasing these phony police brutality issues and stand up for one of our brothers who was killed by gun-wielding thugs who decided that they were going to waste their lives and get involved in crime and break the law.
I'm with you. It's an excellent challenge. I appreciate it. And I think that, this is a time where we could all, it's like I could come to Jesus moment. I know you're a Muslim. I don't mean to.
No problem. we acknowledge Jesus.
I didn't mean to make a theological a statement there, Dave. But what I meant is, and I appreciate the call, this is a time where we really can, where we can take this tragedy, and it's this outrage. It's really an outrage. Well, it's tragic for the family. It's an outrage for the society generally to lose a cop under these circumstances, and learn from it and grow from it and go together, hand in hand. I don't want to be Pollyannish about this, but it would seem to me that if the mayor would make kind of these kinds of statements, we're in this together. We are all cops. We're all a part of the same human family. I think that stuff, as corny as it may sound to some modern-day cynics, really resonates with a lot of truth. Before we get to Sex on Campus, the politics of hookups, genders, and yes. When does yes mean yes? The cover story, actually, it's almost the whole magazine, New York Magazine. It's pretty, some pretty interesting, some saucy stuff, and also some stuff that rattles this father of two college-age girls. Just before we get there, I just want to give a shout-out to my excellent producer, Joe Wannett. About 50 minutes ago, Joe and Maria gave birth to Joseph Santiago Juanet, 7 pounds, 11 ounces, 7'11", lucky number. Joey's got a son, and we congratulate him just 50 minutes ago, born in New Jersey. Joining us right now, Noreen Malone, the senior editor of New York Magazine. They put together this fine special, really eye-opening. Let me just read. Hi, Noreen. Before I get to you, I just want to read a couple of sentences here. It would seem to be a pretty confusing time to be a college student, at least as far as sex is concerned. The sexual revolution has been won. Many campuses resemble great drunken bacchanals in which men and women can choose to participate in no strings attached or at least few strings attached experimentations in lust, sex without stigma or shame. And yet at the same time, news about the high incidence of rape has reached a fever pitch, leaving students, not to mention their parents, worried about their safety. College sex as both playland and minefield. Very fascinating way to start. Noreen, welcome. So what was your big conclusion? I mean, the hooking up is easy to do. I can read the chapter names. They're really interesting and expansive. But what do you see as your big finding in this omnibus edition here?
Well, what we found basically was that college kids are sort of doing what they want, which is what they've been promised all along, and they're having a lot of fun with it. But what they want varies so much from kid to kid, or from young adult to young adult. So some people are, you know, sort of fully and happily participating in what's known as hookup culture. They're, you know, sort of getting drunk and going home with someone. And for some people, it's really empowering. For some people, not so much. But yeah, people are experimenting with their gender identities. People are really just trying a lot of things out, as you know, I think for decades now, people have been doing in college.
Yeah, I was sex, drugs, and rock and roll. What's different?
What's different? Well, I think one thing that is different are the new interest in trying on new gender identities. You know, even since I graduated from college about 10 years ago, you know, no one I knew identified as agender, which means, you know, you don't believe in the existence of gender. It's not that you are transitioning from being a man to a woman or vice versa. It's that you believe there are no destinations at the end. Other terms that were new to me hearing from college kids were the idea of being aromantic, that you believe that you are a sexual being, but you don't associate romantic feelings with sex, or the idea of being asexual, which is, you know, you can have romantic feelings, but you have no interest in sex. So those are all identities that young people are finding describe them now, and they feel like they are in a place where they can open up about that.
Noreen Malone, the senior editor of New York Magazine. New York has the whole edition on the stands right now, Sex on Campus. The whole thing about gender, is that just because it's trendy, because of Bruce Caitlyn Jenner and others? You know, what's the biology hasn't changed in 50 years or 5,000 years. I mean, why now is everyone so confused about whether they're men or women?
Well, I think people are, there's a new openness to these ideas. Maybe people were experiencing these feelings before, but simply didn't have the vocabulary to talk about them. I think a lot of the young people who are, you know, trying on these identities, or not even trying on, just realizing these are their identities, came across these terms on Tumblr. You know, a lot of people are spending time on Tumblr, and there are micro communities, as they're called on Tumblr, where, you know, however you feel, if you feel that you're agender, but you identify with the binary formulation of being a girl, there's a community for that on Tumblr. If you feel that you're asexual, there's a community for that on Tumblr. So at an earlier and earlier age, people are learning the vocabulary.
All right, what about this whole thing about sexual assault? I mean, it is a minefield. It is tough. How do you draw the line there? When is yes yes and all that?
Well, this is what, you know, every college out there is dealing with right now. We had what I thought was a very interesting piece. A woman who had graduated from Dartmouth about 10 years ago went back to her sorority and sort of looked at, you know, what about that culture of sort of drinking a lot and making out or having sex with someone who's, you know, relatively unknown to you, what about that might encourage sexual assault? And the interesting thing is that I think it's for people who are a little older, it might seem obvious that there might be a link there, but I think it's difficult when you are, you know, when you buy the idea that sort of free sex can be empowering. It's hard to sort of draw a line there.
So you have this chart, which I find very interesting. Are you sexually active? And it's about half of students in the freshman year are sexually active. By the junior, senior year, it's 57%. That's for men. Mm-hmm. For women, it's 59%. So are women more sexually active than men in college?
Well, I mean, this was a relatively small poll. You know, it was 800 students, so, you know, and there's a 2% difference between that. So I wouldn't draw too many conclusions from that difference. But what was interesting to me about our poll, which does track with national polls, is that actually, you know, despite everything we've just talked about, this generation is actually fairly conservative sexually. You know, 40% of the students that we polled were virgins, and you know, there wasn't actually that much of a significant difference between, say, the freshmen and the seniors in terms of, I mean, it was maybe a 10% difference. And, you know, they all really wanted to get married. They felt that the ideal number of sexual partners was under 5. So it really is a fairly conservative generation of students.
And what about drugs, though? What about, you know, synthetic pot, K2, all this other stuff, and just plain old booze?
Well, we didn't really ask people about synthetic pot. That we did not get that granular in our analysis. But yeah, plain old booze, I think, is a big part of enabling college sex life, and I don't think that's changed much in recent years. That's the way it's always been, and probably always will be, as much as colleges try to crack down on it.
And in terms of college rape, sexual assault, is that hyped or is that real? Do you see that as if you could make a trend from the old days to now?
Well, I don't feel, you know, comfortable sort of speaking to that or not. I do think that there is plenty of evidence that that sexual assault is a problem on campuses that maybe administrations and even students are just now recognizing.
And so is college the, you say they're a relatively chaste generation. That is, I find that fascinating given the reputation that kids have. I'm so glad that my daughters both had boyfriends, very consistent lives, very, you know, in some ways very conservative in social terms.
Yeah.
Did they miss out?
Did they miss out? No. I mean, they're young. They've got a lot of, time.
A lot of living to do.
Yeah, a lot of living to do.
So
all these kids do.
Do you miss college?
You know, this made me not miss it at all.
Yeah, me too. I'm looking through it to say, oh, God, who needs this?
Very happy to be older.
Noreen, I appreciate it. Thanks. Good luck with it. Noreen Malone, thanks. Senior editor of New York Magazine. Check it out. Sex on Campus on stands now. We'll be right back.
He's a master brander.
And he's the most interesting character out there. And there is a macho appeal to saying, I'm just sick of nothing happening. I make things happen. Vote for me.
And I like him.
All right, that's Bill Clinton, Noam. Bill Clinton on Donald Trump's website. Bill Clinton, the former president, Clinton 42, endorsing Donald Trump. But the whole thing's a spoof on Trump's website. I thought it was pretty clever, though.
That is pretty clever.
I can imagine Bill Clinton, endorsing Donald Trump. What happens when he'd have to sleep with one eye open, I'm sure.
I think he's sleeping with one eye open anyway.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. That's probably true. I just can't get over that picture of him at the Global Initiative, the Clinton Global Initiative, holding that very lovely, elegant 40-something-year-old, long blonde hair, just like exactly his type.
But anyway, that's kind of who he is. I mean, he's always been like that. And clearly she's, you know, whatever their agreement or whatever the deal is with his wife, that's the way it is. But clearly that's who he is. I mean, you've met him before. He's flirtatious towards men, too. I mean, it's kind of just in his DNA. He can't help himself.
Yeah, I definitely had that also. That same... I don't know, just through you.
He locks eyes with you.
Yeah, you're constantly on. You're really
and if you're in
that deep sexual way, you're definitely on.
And if you're one-on-one with him, it's one-on-one. I mean, he's not, you know, that's the thing about him, and I think that's why people are attracted to him. When you meet him one-on-one, he's not making eye contact to see who the next person is. In his head, he might be thinking that, but in that moment, he's so good at that. He's so, you know, that you get sort of locked in and you have that moment with him, and then he moves on. But for that moment, it's you and him. And I think that's why women fall for him, and in some way men do as well.
But women want to take their clothes off when they say Bill Clinton. Look at Vice President Joe Biden, who is a really touchy-feely guy. He's probably more touchy-feely even than Bill Clinton. And yet with Joe Biden, it seems so asexual. It seems grandfatherly.
Creepy,
it is kind of. It is kind of like it's like your crazy Uncle Joe.
Right. You're like, take your hands off my shoulders.
Yeah, dude.
I mean, you've seen those moments where he was like swearing in senators' wives, you know, with the wives there.
Yeah,
and he's touching them
back
a little too much. You're like, what is going on here?
And you think about Hillary Clinton and how different she is from her husband. I mean, they definitely seem to be the opposite ends of the spectrum when it comes to that kind of passion.
You don't get the warmth from her.
There's no vivacity in that sense. But she is going to be a tough nut for the House Benghazi Committee inquiry. They, you know, if people are expecting, let me just say this, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll talk more about this tomorrow. I'm sorry I didn't get to politics today, but, you know, with the outrageous shooting death of the officer, the fourth to fall in just 10 and a half, 11 months, we're obviously and rightfully distracted. But tomorrow we'll do politics and we'll talk about those hearings. But I tell you, if I were the Republicans, and you have Trey Gowdy, who was a district attorney. And I really believe that Trey Gowdy wants to get the hell out of Congress. I think he feels embarrassed by the Republicans who have, in a sense, allowed his committee to be revealed as the partisan hitmen of the RNC. You know, rightly or wrongly, that's certainly the rap that the Democrats are trying to plaster all over them. If I were Trey Gowdy, I'd just stick to the facts. Okay, when did you know this? What happened then? What were you doing on the night this happened? Where were you? What was your notification? What did you do? Who did you call? Did you communicate with the President of the United States? Did you communicate with top aides? What did you do in terms of assessing the ability of the United States military to respond to the attacks on the Benghazi consulate once they started? You know what I mean, Noam? If I were him, I'd just do it. This is like a criminal prosecution. He's got to cross-examine Hillary Clinton like she's a defense witness.
Yeah, and you know what? They did that how many times before that? Maybe there's something there, but they so have bungled this thing that I think the ship has sailed on this, and nobody's paying attention anymore. And again, there might be something there. There might be a smoking gun, but they haven't shown us that. And they've teased us each time that there is going to be something, and they've teased us this time as well that come Friday, there's going to be something that's going to explode, but I don't believe them anymore.
That's what I said last night to my buddy Sean Hannity, and I love Sean. He's, you know, he may be the exact polar opposite to me in terms of his ideology, but he's a fair guy. He lets me come on there and say whatever I have to say. That's what I told him. Don't hold your breath about getting the Hillary Clinton, because as skilled as Trey Gowdy may have been as a local DA, he's up against a real pro now, and she has had 3 years now to get a story down that she thinks will hold up under scrutiny. But I think that it's all going to be about nothing. I think it's going to be about political decisions that were made. It's not going to be legal. Nobody's getting indicted. This is going to go away, and Republicans, probably Donald Trump, will have to take her on the issues, and that will be fascinating to watch. Trump v. Clinton. We'll talk about Hillary and the testimony. Noam, see you tomorrow. Bye, everybody. Love you.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store and online. And now, the more you buy, the more you save on beds, bases, and more. Limited time. For J.D. Power 2025 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Check it out at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com today.